As we've just heard, there have been reports of a memo from the Justice Department advising the White House on the permissibility of torturing terror suspects in captivity. The Washington Post is one of the news organizations that have obtained copies of that August 2002 memo, and joining us now is Post reporter Dana Priest. Dana Priest, first, who wrote this memo and for whom was it written?
It was written by Jay Bybee, who at the time was an assistant attorney general in the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, which is the office that helps the White House and the Justice Department, offers opinion to them on the most sensitive and important issues facing the White House.
And the intended readership of this memo?
Well, my understanding is that this memo actually was sparked when the CIA began to detain and interrogate Al-Qaeda suspects after 9/11. And they needed some legal advice and wanted to know how far they could go. And that job, that legal opinion job, was given from the White House counsel's office to the Justice Department. And then the Justice Department, through Mr. Bybee, who's now a judge, so I should call him Judge Bybee, sent their opinion back to Alberto Gonzalez, who is the White House counsel.
Well, in the opinion rendered as to what was permissible and what wasn't, first of all, did Mr. Bybee, or Judge Bybee as he is now, did he offer a bright line between what is illegal torture and what isn't?
He did, although he stopped short of actually listing techniques. This definition that he put forward would be considered a more narrow definition of torture than many, say, human rights groups and even the Army interrogation manual puts forth. He says that to be torture, it has to be severe mental and or physical pain. And then severe, what does that mean? It means that it is hard to endure. It is something that would cause either organ failure, prolonged suffering, or even death. Furthermore, if it's mental torture, then it has to be something that would cause somebody to have a mental problem, such as post-traumatic stress syndrome, psychological dementia, something that would last for several months or years.
Mm-hmm. How great a revision of previous understandings of what constitutes torture or permissible interrogation would this memo be?
Very much on the extreme side of both defining torture, but also the authority to use torture or to defend yourself against having used torture. That goes to the question of what they're really saying is the commander-in-chief made the decision to go to war. Torture in interrogations is like a weapon in war, and therefore you cannot take away that weapon from the president.
Do you know whether the Bybee memo, the memo requested by the CIA, really was the basis for actions and for policy, or was it simply guidance that was sought and read?
Well, I believe through my other reporting that it was instituted in the field. Unlike, this is an important distinction, unlike what happened in Guantanamo, we don't have a clear picture yet of how they were allowed to treat detainees in Guantanamo. So that is still a pending question. How did they take this very explosive and definition of torture and use it in Guantanamo? That is a question that the Pentagon has refused to answer because, for one, they will not release the interrogation methods that they used, despite the fact that only 7 of those methods, they say, are methods not approved by the Army Field Manual on Interrogations, which is available. So we're waiting for them to answer that question. What are those 7 methods?
Dana Priest of the Washington Post, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Oh, my pleasure.